Parshas Kislova. Okay, so Parshas Kislova starts with the Kurim. V'lakachto, Pasuk Beis, v'lakachto mereishis kol pri ha'adama, take from the first of the fruits, asher tovi mi'artzecha, asher Hashem l'kecha noisein loch, that Hashem gave you, and put it in a basket, and bring it up to the base of Mikdash, and he goes to the Kohen, and gives the Bikurim to the Kahanim. Okay, so there's much to say about Bikurim. And I'll say over things we said in the past, and some new Devei, and some new Devei Torah. Okay. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara learns from here, that Bosa Aniyo, Bosa Aniyusa. That after the Ani, Aniyos follows. Poverty follows the Ani. And the Gemara says, how do we see that from the Bikurim? Because when the Asher brings Bikurim, what happens? The Asher brings Bikurim in a gold basket, in a silver basket, a person does the mitzvah nicely. So the usher brings the bikurim in a nice fancy basket, a fancy keli. What happens? The din is, he empties out the bikurim. The kohen only takes the bikurim. But the gold basket, or the silver basket, the copper basket, whatever it is, goes right back to the usher. He takes the basket home. But when the ani brings bikurim, what happens? The ani brings bikurim in a basket made of branches, rovis, whatever it might be, reeds. What happens? The kohen takes the basket also. The kohen takes the basket. So the Gemara uses the expression, vasaniya ozvani yusa. After the ani, after the poor man, poverty follows. Because the ani ends up losing his basket. He doesn't have much to give in the first place. And he brings his bikurim. Not only does he lose his bikurim, but he loses the basket. He loses the basket also. The usher gets back his keli. If anybody could afford to give the keli, the usher is the one who could afford to give the keli. But the opposite is true. Vasaniya ozvani yusam. So says the Gemara. And the Gemara says, darsheni, darsheni. What's taka de pshat? Why does the ani give away his basket? And why not the usher? So just saw from the Sar Shaul Mibels, he says over very nicely that Basa Aniya, the word Ani, how do you spell the word Ani? Ayin Nun Yud. Basa Aniya, after the word Ani, after the letters Ani, take the letter Ayin. What's the next letter in the Aleph Beis? A pay. What's after an Ayin? A pay. What's after a Nun? A Samach. What's after a Yud? A Chas. You have the Oisius Kesef. You have the letters of Kesef. You have the letters of Kesef. So in this rule the Gemara gives, Vosaniya, Vosvani Yusa, there's a hidden bracha. After the Ani, if you take the letters, after the Oisius Ani, it spells out Kesef. There's a bracha to the Ani, that after suffering from being an Ani, you should be zaycha to the Oisius Kesef, be zaycha to have Parnasa, have Ashimus. The Veld says over, I say this over, I think every year we say this over, the Veld says over, what's Takrib Shat that the Oni has to give his basket to the Kahanim by Bikurim and the Asher doesn't? And they say over the Pshat is, what happens? Let's back up in time and see what happens. The farmers out in the field, or the workers are out in the field, and they see the first fruits grew on the tree. The first olives are ready, the first pomegranates came out, the Shivas Aminim, we bring Bikurim from the Shivas Aminim turned ripe. So what happens? In the house of the Ani, the farmer's out in the field himself, he sees the Bikurim, Baruch Hashem, I can be Mekayim the mitzvah, bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, I have a chance to do a mitzvah. He comes home, and he says to his wife, Bikurim time, Bikurim are ready. And she says, oi, how are we going to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash? We don't even have a basket that we could afford to send up to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't even have a keli to hold the Bikurim to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, oh, you're right. What are we going to do? How am I going to get a keli? And his wife says, no problem. I'll go out to the field. I'll gather some branches. I'll gather some reeds. And I'll weave a basket. And I'll weave a basket with shame, the mitzvah bikurim. And she sits and she weaves a basket for the mitzvah bikurim. And at that basket, the Ani brings up his bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. What happens in the house of the Asher? The workers come into the Asher. They tell them, Balabas, listen. The grapes are ready. The olives are ready. The pomegranates are all ready to go. Time to give Bikurim. And Adash says, oh, Bikurim time again. Right. Giving again. Giving again. All right. The Torah says to give. We have to give Bikurim. We'll bring up to the Beis HaMikdash.
Time again.
And he says, ooh, but how should I bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash? I have a nice silver platter, a nice silver basket. But wait a minute. Last year, my neighbor next door, his basket was fancier than mine. I can't let that happen this year. When I bring up my Bikurim, I have to make sure that my Keli, my Bikurim stand out better than his. I have to use my gold basket this year, my gold platter, and I'm going to show all the neighbors that my Bikurim stands out better than theirs. And if I don't like the Keli I have, I'll buy a special Keli for Bikurim to show everybody how I do a mitzvah, how I give Bikurim. And now the Ani and the Asher come up to the Beis HaMikdash. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose Keli do I want? When the Asher comes with his fancy Keli, it smells with gaiva. Smells from COVID. Smells from kinna. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bikurim I'll take. But take your Keli and take it right back home. I don't want your Keli in the Beis HaMikdash with its kinna, its taiva, its kovid. I don't want it in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Ani comes with his Keli, it might not look so fancy, it might not look so rich, but it smells sweet. It smells Mesiras Nefesh. It smells what the mitzvah, Bikurim, Kedusha, B'tahara. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, such a Keli, I want to keep. Not only does the Ani give the Bikurim, but let the Ani give his Keli also. It's true, he might be an Ani, but the Mesiras Nefesh of the Ani is so great. It's like Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's so Kodesh, the Mesiras Nefesh the Ani has, I'll take his Keli also. And let the Oni give his Keli to the Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash. I've seen it in more than one source. I don't recall. Okay. Okay. Could be. Okay. I've seen it elsewhere also. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay. The truth is, everybody smiles when they hear this part. But it applies to all of us. How many times when we do a mitzvah, we really do l'shem shemayim? And how many times because we're worried about what Yenim's gonna say, and what someone else is gonna think about us? We do a mitzvah, it has to be l'shem shemayim, not about what Yenim's gonna say, what somebody else thinks. We're doing the mitzvah not for somebody else. We're doing the mitzvah l'shem shemayim. Okay. I'm going to go a little bit out of order in the parasha. I want to come back to Bikurim at the end. Okay? I know I said this over within the past year or two. The pasuk says later on, Perik Chav Ches, pasuk Mem Zayin, V'samachta b'chol atoiv. You should rejoice for all the good that Hashem gave you. By the Bikurim, it says, V'samacht v'chol atoiv. Later, I'm sorry, that's by Bikurim. Sorry, later on, by the Teichachon in Kisavoy, in Pasuk Chav Ches, Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, says the Pasuk, Tachas Hashem lo yavadatas Hashem ulekecha, V'simcha v'tuv levov meirayv koil. Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin. Because they didn't serve Hashem with simcha, v'tuv levov meirayv koil, from the roiv, from all the good that Hashem gave you. By the Bikurim, it says, B'samachta b'chalatai. Right before Sheni, Perik Chavov, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you should rejoice with all the good that Hashem gave you. And by the Teichacha it says, because you didn't rejoice, B'simcha tuv levov mirayv koil, therefore all the klalos came upon Klal Yisrael. Person has to appreciate what Hashem gave him. We all do mitzvahs. We're all Shomrei Torah, all Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, Shomrei Shabbos. Says a Dovno Magid over a marshal, and with this marshal we can understand where we're holding, what level we're on. He says over a marshal, and I said it over, there was once a clothing manufacturer, and for years and years and years he manufactured a certain style, a certain material of clothing, and he was very, very successful. And his clothing sold all over, and he was known far and wide for his clothing. Comes one year, he decides, this year I'm going to try a new model, new style, new material, and reinvents his famous clothing. And instead of selling the old style and the old material, he sells only the new style and the new material. And all that's available to buy in the stores are the new material. And people are walking around in the streets wearing the new style clothing. But the truth is, there are two types of people. There are those people who wear the new style clothing because they like it. It's lighter. It's nicer, it's more up-to-date. They like it, they like the new style clothing. And then there are those people who wear the new style clothing because there's nothing else to buy in the stores. The stores don't have the old style anymore. If you can't buy the old style, you have to buy the new style clothing. Nothing left to buy. So they walk around wearing the new style clothing. So you come to a party, and everyone's wearing the new style clothing. But how could you tell which ones really enjoy it, which ones really want the new style of clothing, and which ones prefer the old style, which ones aren't happy? So to do the Magid, if the manufacturer himself attends the party, the manufacturer of the clothing himself attends the party, let's see who goes over to him and who thanks him for his new line of clothing. The ones that are happy, up to date, and they like the new clothing, they're the ones that go over to the manufacturer and they thank him. Of course, I thought how good your line of clothing is. Thank you so much, up to date, and they praise him. But the other people who wish the old style came back are very upset, very angry at him. And they avoid him. Shouldn't have done it at all. Wish he would have stayed with the old style. Yeah. Says the Dudu Magid. Same is true. It comes to us, we do mitzvahs. We do mitzvahs. But what's our attitude towards mitzvahs? How do we approach the mitzvahs? Do we have the attitude of doing mitzvahs, b'simcha, b'tuv leivov? We are happy to do mitzvahs. We run to do mitzvahs. Thank Hashem for the opportunity to do mitzvahs. And then there are those people who do mitzvahs. You know why? Because I have to do it. Torah says, I have to do it. Okay, I'll do it. But if it was up to me, I wouldn't mind being free one night. I wouldn't mind taking a break one day. I wouldn't mind having an off, everybody needs an off day. I wouldn't mind having an off day once in a while. I wouldn't mind. How can you tell which person does the mitzvahs b'simcha v'tuv leivov and which person does it just because he has to? How they approach the mitzvahs. How do they do it? Does he do it with a heavy heart? Does he do it because he has to do it? Or does he do it because he does it out of simcha? What's his attitude towards doing mitzvahs? How does he wake up in the morning? Oh, I have to go to Minyan. Or I have to go to Minyan, Baruch Hashem. I have a mitzvah to do. And he runs to do a mitzvah. It all depends on the attitude. Say over many times, two people could do the same mitzvah and they're worlds and worlds apart. Two people do the same mitzvah and one person is on top of the world and one person is down on the bottom. It all depends on the attitude that a person has when he does a mitzvah. What's the attitude? I'll say it over again. We'll say it before Yom Kippur again. Two people are fasting on Yom Kippur. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Yom Kippur. A person feels the tightness. In the morning, you don't feel it so much. Okay, most if you have a little break, fine. You come back, mincha time already. It's getting late in the day. It's getting a little late. And you feel the pain a little bit.
It's a good idea.
Two people. One person looks at the clock. 5 o'clock. 3 hours to go. 3 hours till the tightness is over. Can't wait till the next. And the other person says, I have kavana to be yaitzen in mitzvah say the eraisa of the yinisim es nafshay sechem. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to fast in Yom Kippur, to feel a little tzar. I have kavana right now when I feel that hunger pain to be yaitzen in mitzvah of the yinisim es nafshay sechem. And they both finish the tightness, they both fast, and they first eat after Ma'ariv. It's true, they both fasted, they both completed the tainus. But in Shemayim, the worlds and worlds apart. The one who couldn't wait for the tainus to end, wished it was over already. He lost out a tremendous opportunity. The one who, when he felt the pain, has kavanah to be yaitz in the mitzvah of the inisim esnaf sheseichem, what schar he has, what kedusha he has, worlds and worlds apart. It all depends on the attitude that a person has when he does mitzvahs. Where are we holding? Are we happy that we have this clothing, we have the mitzvahs, or is it just a burden to us? And a person says, sit there, make a little cheshbon. Where are you holding? What's our attitude? What's our attitude towards mitzvahs? Especially Chodesh Elul, before Rosh Hashanah, make a little cheshbon where we're holding, what our attitude towards mitzvahs are. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, everyone goes to shul, everyone davens together. But we can be worlds apart, depending where, what's in our head, what our kavanas are. How do we feel? A person who has a simcha doing mitzvahs is worlds and worlds apart. His schar is so much greater than someone who doesn't. The pasuk says in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Chav Talev, going back a little bit. Aru makir re'eyu basasa. Cursed is the person who hits his friend, who causes trouble, punishment to his friend basaser in secret. And what does that refer to? Who's aru makir re'eyu basasa? Lashon Hara. It refers to somebody who speaks Lashon Hara. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara is Makir Re'eyu Basasa. He hits his friend secretly, behind his friend's back. He goes ahead and he speaks Lashon Hara about him. Rashi says right away, A Lashon Hara Hu Oimer. It refers to Lashon Hara. Okay. You do it, a Chavetz Chaim, Lois Farim, Hilchas Lashon Hara, which we have the schus to learn. But the many, many stories said over at the Chavetz Chaim in Lashon Hara. I'll say I have one of the famous, famous stories about the Chavetz Chaim, just to give us a little chizik in Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim was once traveling with another Rav, and for a Dvar Mitzvah, whatever the particular Mitzvah was, they were traveling together. And they came to an inn, they stopped off by an inn to eat on the way. And after they were served the meal and they ate, the Barabasta comes over at the end, and asks them, how was the food? How was the food? So Chavetz Chaim says the food was delicious. Everything was perfect. And the other Rav says, well, it's good, but it needs a little salt. It's missing a little bit of salt. Or a little bit too much salt. Whichever version. Hey. Too much salt, too little salt. Okay. It needs a little salt.
The chicken.
So after the Baal Buster walks away, Chavetz Chaim says to the other Rav, now I know for sure that we're not going to accomplish our Dvar Mitzvah. Because now that I have to hear Lashon Hara from you, I know that the outcome of our trip can't be positive, and I have charata that I went. So the other Rav said to him, Lashon Hara, what did I say? I just said it needs a little salt. What did I say? What did I say wrong? So the Chavetz Chaim says, listen to what happened. First of all, when you said that, you spoke badly against the cook in the kitchen. I had to hear it from you, so I heard Lashon Hara from you. Not only did I hear Lashon Hara from you, but the Baal Bosta had to hear Lashon Hara from you. Okay. Not only that, but now I guarantee you what's happening in the kitchen. The Baal Bosta went back to the cook in the kitchen and is telling her that the rabbi said
too much salt
or too little salt. The salt wasn't good. And she's repeating over what you said about her. Again in Aveira of Lashon Hara. And the cook's going to say, what do you mean? I followed the recipe. Everything was perfect. I don't know what the rabbi's talking about. She's going to deny it. The Baal Bosta is going to get upset and fire the cook. And the Chavetz Chaim says, probably who's the cook? A poor almano who needs the parnasa. And because of these few words, look what happened. So the Rav said to the Chavetz Chaim, you must be exaggerating. Can't be. Must be exaggerating. Come on. This could happen. So the Chavetz Chaim says, come, let's go to the kitchen and look inside. And Kachave, they walk over to the kitchen doors, and they look inside, and they hear, Baal Bosta is upset, the cook is sitting there crying, and they walk in, and they say, what happened? What's the matter? And the cook is crying, she needs a job, and the Baal Bosta just fired her because the rabbi said the food wasn't good, didn't have enough salt. Okay, so the Chavetz Chaim proved this point. Okay, the story had a happy ending, the rabbi was able to undo it. No, he undid it, and Meshol Mar Yisrael, and they lived happily ever after. But the bottom line is, as far-fetched as the story sounds, those are all situations that arise. And a person is very, very careful what he says. And sometimes we think that this can't possibly be Lashon Hara. What harm could these words do? And yet, words are very dangerous. Words can harm. And at Kal Vachayma, we know the words are harmful, and we know it's Lashon Hara. How careful we have to be not to speak Lashon Hara.
This wasn't Lashon Hara. It's not even Lashon Hara. What he said, the meat salt wasn't Lashon Hara.
Well, he said the cook didn't do her job properly.
He didn't say that. That's what he was implying.
Cooking to a job,
can't
probably.
Can't be a cook. You can't cook.
Salt, then you shouldn't be a cook.
Can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Okay. Going back to the beginning of the parasha, there's Naim Latoyer, Zalman Sorotkin says over a beautiful machshava. The pasuk starts off, the parasha starts off, pasuk aleph, v'hoyok yisoh v'yalotz. What was the end of Blisling's parasha? What was the end of Kiseitze? Amalek, Mechias Amalek, Zalcha, Eishisha also cha Amalek, Baderech b'tzeis chami Mitzrayim. The parasha ends off with the mitzvah of Zachor, Vaisishkach, not to forget what Amalek did. What's the next parasha? Bikurim. And not only that, but it's a vav, v'hoya, vav. We know the word the vav is a vav achibur. The vav connects. The vav attaches what's before to what's later. V'hoya kisavoy. What possible connection is there between Amalek and Bikurim? And right after Bikurim, the parasha goes into vidui maisreis. Person says vidui, he gave maisreis properly, he gave it to the kohen, to the oni, to the levi, and so on. What's the connection between Mechias Amalek, Bikurim, Vidui Maisris? Says Aznaim Latoyra, a beautiful machshav. He says, we find that right before Har Sinai, Mechemes Amalek took place. Where did Mechemes Amalek take place? In Refidim. It took place in Refidim at the end of Parshas B'Shalach. What was the next stop after Refidim? Vayisu me Refidim, Vayachanu, Midbar Sinai. He went from Refidim to Midbar Sinai. Right after the Melchemes of Amalek, the next stop was Har Sinai. Right before the Yidden were ready for Kabbalah HaTorah, Amalek shows up. Amalek always shows up to weaken us, to stop us from learning Torah, from Talmud Torah. Whenever there's Talmud Torah, Amalek comes and tries to stop us. Right before Kabbalah HaTorah, Amalek came and tried to stop us. Find back in Parshas Vayishlach, Esav's Malach came and he fought with Yaakov. Vayiga v'kaf yirecha. He touched the kaf yirecha, but he got a nosha, and Yaakov was hurt. And the Zoya Kodesh brings down Vayiga v'kaf yirecha betamchin diereisa, that he touched those that support the Torah. That Molek had his koyach to go ahead and harm, hold back those that support Torah, not to support Torah. And Molek always has his hands in somehow holding us back from Torah. Whether it's the supporters of Torah, the Loimdei Torah, it's all connected. If he affects the supporters, then people ain't kemach ain't Torah. It's very difficult to learn. Esav and Yaakov have this ongoing machloikis, this ongoing mochama, and Esav always shows up. Amalek descends from Esav. Amalek shows up to stop Klal Yisrael from learning Torah. Mechias Amalek did not take place yet. It won't take place until Hashem also destroys Amalek. Hashem's erasing Amalek. Hashem's throne is not complete. Hashem's name is not complete until Mechias Amalek takes place. How do we cope in the meantime? How do we fight against Amalek in the meantime? And Amalek is alive. Amalek has his kayach. How do we fight? The Torah tells us, you know how. When you have Bikurim, bring Bikurim up to the base of Mikdash. And who do you bring Bikurim to? You bring Bikurim to the Kahanim. Who do you give your Maisa to? Give your Maisa to the Levim. What's the purpose of the Kahanim and the Levim? The Kahanim and the Levim are the ones who taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Yairum Mishpatecha L'Yakov V'Sayroscha L'Yisrael. The Levim, the Kahanim, were the ones who taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Why go up to the Beis HaMikdosh? Beis HaMikdosh was a Mokom with a Shechina rest. The Kahanim and the Levim were there. When a person goes to the Beis HaMikdosh, that's where a person receives his chizuk, his strength in learning, his strength in serving Hashem, his strength in the Torah. Like it says, L'man tilmad v'yira es Hashem l'kecha kol yomim. They went up to the Beis HaMikdosh to learn to fear Hashem. How do we cope with Amalek? You cope by going up to the Beis HaMikdosh. You cope by dealing with the Kahanim, dealing with the Levim, bringing the Kurim to the Kahanim, bringing the Maisvis to the Levim. Vidui HaMaisvis. Say Vidui, I gave my Vidui, I went to the Levi, I went to the Koy, I did what I was supposed to do. By dealing with the Kahanim, the Levim, the Kurim, going up to the Beis HaMikdosh, a person has the ability to overcome Amalek. The Kahanim are the ones who taught us Torah. It says by Vidui Maisvis at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel, I didn't forget Vidui Maisvis. It says with Zalman Tzorotskin, Loi Sishkach and Loi V'Loi Shochachti. It says by Amalek, I don't forget, and it says here V'Loi Shochachti, I didn't forget. Don't forget. If you don't forget one, you won't forget the other. If you remember to bring your Maisvis to the Levi, you remember to bring your Bikurim to the Kohen, you remember to go up to the Beis HaMikdosh, you remember, then you have that connection. You have that connection, then you will never forget what Amalek did, and you will always be able to overcome Amalek. But if you forget to deal with the Levi, to deal with the Kohen, then you're in danger of forgetting what Amalek did, and Amalek has a Koyach. The way to overcome it is by going up to the Beis HaMikdosh, bringing the Bikurim to the Kahanim, and the Maisa to the Levim. The Pasuk says, Uvasa l'kayin ashiyah b'yom emheim. Pasuk Gimel, beginning of the parasha, should come to the Kayin in those days. The Kayin in those days. And Rashi brings down, Ein l'chayel l'kayin should be a mecha, k'mashu, only the Kayin in your days. V'amarta ilov, she'encha kofoy toiva. You shouldn't be a kofoy toiva. You shouldn't deny the good that Hashem did. Hashem gave you Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gave you beautiful fruits. You shouldn't be a kofoy toiva and not bring it up. But you have Bikurim. You bring it up to the Beis HaMikdosh. Just agav, a small sideline little story. An elder Yid once came to the Beis Yisrael, the Gerer Rebbe, and they told the Beis Yisrael, this elder Yid had seen Rav Tzadik HaKayim Milublin, had seen Rav Tzadik HaKayim. So the Beis Yisrael said, if you saw the Kayim, he said to the elder Yid, why are you coming to me? If you saw Rav Tzadik HaKayim, then how could you come to me? And the elder Yid answered him, Uvasar HaKayim Ashiya Bayomim Mahayim, Elucha HaKayim Shabiya Mecha. Mitzvah Kohen was then, but now Mitzvah Kohen is not alive anymore, so he came to the Beis Yisrael. A kol panim, Rashi says not to be a kofei toiv. The Sefer Charedim brings down that from here we learn out the idea of a person being makeh toiv and not being kofei toiv. And he goes so far as to write that v'yomarta ilov, he got it to yom Hashem lekecha, ki vosa l'aretz, is all a mitzvah being makeh toiv. It's a mitzvah being makeh toiv to Hashem for the Bikurim, for what he did, and how everybody has to be Makir Toiv. The Gemara in Bava Kama, the Zayin and Aleph, the Gemara tells us that a person who didn't bow down by Moedim, after he dies, 7 years after he dies, his spine turns into a snake. His spine becomes a Nochash. The Gemara in Bava Kama, the Zayin. And the Tiras Chaim is Masbe very nicely. Why a snake? Why does a spine turn into a snake? A person didn't bow down by Moedim? And he says, the Be'emes, a person really, his whole day, should thank Hashem for everything that he does. Every step that a person takes, every breath that a person breathes, kol neshama tahalaka, everything, every time a person sees and hears and his body functions, a person eats. A person has to thank Hashem, but a person can't walk around the whole day thanking, can't function. So chazal masakein, three times a day, a person davens. And in the davening, they were masaking to thank Hashem for the entire day. I call Nisecho, Nifloisecho, to thank Hashem, Erev, Vaykev, Tzaharoyim, and the Tfilah of Maidim, to thank Hashem for whatever Hashem does. Kohan Neshama Talka. Besides the part of the Pshat, every Neshama praises Hashem, the Gemara Dashes are called Neshima V'Neshima. For every breath that a person takes, a person has to thank Hashem for each breath that he takes. How do we thank Hashem? We say Maidim, we thank Hashem for the entire day. We thank Hashem for everything we do throughout the entire day. By Maidim, we bow down. Person bows down as a sign of a Karasa type. He bows down before Hashem as a sign of thanking Hashem. Just Agav, the Delt says over also, why is Maidim the only bracha that has a Maidim Dirabonon? Comes to Chazaras Hashat as a Maidim Dirabonon. You don't find by any other bracha, we say a little extra tefillah. You say, Baruch Baruch Shemai, and Amen, we go weiter. Why by Maidim? Is there a Maidim Drabonon? Special Maidim? Because Maidim, you can't be Yaitzev to Shriach Tzibur. Maidim, you have to say yourself. When it comes to thanking Hashem, the Shriach Tzibur can't be Maidzi you. You have to say Maidim by yourself. So there's a special tefillah that even when the Chazan was Maidzi everybody, everybody still said their own Maidim. Everybody still said their own Maidim to thank Hashem. Maidim, a person bows down. A person bows down by Maidim. The Nachash, what was the Nachash? The Nachash is a Kofei Toiv. The Nachash in Gan Eden, Hashem gave the Nachash everything. And what does the Nachash do? He goes ahead. The one thing he can't have, Chava, he has to go ahead and he has to try to convince her to eat and to give Adam to eat. The Nachash is a Kofei Toiv. Nachash took all the good that Hashem gave him,
didn't appreciate it,
just the opposite. He had to go ahead and have what Hashem didn't give him. It's a kofei toiv. A person who doesn't bow down is a kofei toiv. A person who can't bow down to Hashem to thank him for the good that he did is a kofei toiv. So midah keneged midah. A person who doesn't bow down, what happens? He didn't bow down his spine. His spine stood straight. He didn't bend his spine to bow down. It was a kofei toiv. His spine turns into the Nachash. Who was the first kofei toiv? Mida keneged mida. Person has to appreciate and thank Hashem. But the trick is to remember to do it. There was a Yid who once came to the Nesivas Shalom and he asked him, this Yid had undergone a tzara and he had a Yeshua. He had a Yeshua, he was saved. He came to the Nesivas Shalom and he asked him, how should I show Hashem my appreciation? What should I do for Hakaras HaToiv? How could I show my Hakaras HaToiv to Hashem? Should I open up a gemach? Is a gemach good? I'll open up a gemach, and this way I'll put my fund in the gemach, and it will do favors for many people. People able to borrow money, whatever they need. If I want to help out many people, and that will be my way of showing appreciation to Hashem. So yes, and the Steve Shalom, is that a good idea? Is that a good idea? Siva Shalom told him, no. No. He said, because if you open up a gemach, you're going to think you fulfilled the obligation of Akaras HaToiv. You're going to think that that's it. You said you thank you, and you're finished. You're part that you fulfilled your obligation. He says, better, you should wake up every morning and feel the same feeling you have today, how to thank Hashem. You have to thank Hashem. Wake up every morning and say, Hashem, thank you for the Yeshua that you gave. That's how you thank Hashem. Not by forgetting about it and just patting yourself up. Gemach is a fine thing to do, but not to be used as a way of exempting yourself from future Akaras HaToiv. Don't use it as a way of saying, I'm finished, I fulfilled my obligation. A person never fulfills the obligation of Akaras HaToiv. It goes on and on and on and on. It comes Rosh Hashanah, starts with Shuv Yom Kippur, we'll start saying, Zachreinu Achayim, Melachovitz Bachayim, the Chosveinu Meseif Achayim, Laman Chalakim, Olkim Achayim. Say it over every year, and I'll say it again. Reb Miller always said over, before you start Zachreinu Achayim, and you ask for life this year, did you say thank you for last year? Did you say thank you once for last year yet? Now you know this Rosh Hashanah, how you would judge last year. Now you know you would judge for a year of life. Did you say thank you? Before you come to ask for another year of life, did you say thank you? You're coming to ask for another favor. Before you ask for another favor, did you say thank you for the previous favor? Do you expect? Imagine a person, you nudge him for a favor, he does you a favor, once, twice, year after year after year, and you never say thank you. Eventually, he's going to say, listen, I'm not doing the favor anymore. You never said thank you for all that I did. A person wants another year of life. Where's the thank you for last year? Before we come to Rosh Hashanah, to Zechreinu L'chaim, Chavetz B'chaim, a thank you is in order. Hashem, thank you for last year. Now I know how you judged last year, and how Baruch Hashem, I'm alive and healthy this year, and Baruch Hashem, things worked out. Zechreinu L'chaim, thank you for last year. Now that I thanked you for last year, maybe you could help me for this year also, and we can make it through this year also. Help me through this year. But first comes that Akaras HaToiv. Before we have a right to ask, it comes Akaras HaToiv. And we're going to be Bikurim, the mitzvah of Akaras HaToiv, how important Akaras HaToiv is. So Shtaka B'Zaycha, that we should be Makat HaToiv, HaKon Hashim V'Nashima, we should appreciate all that Hashem gives us, and we should be Zaycha to be judged for a good year, Ksiv V'Chsim HaToiv, HaKod Kepen Shriya. Amen.